Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, where we've been the last three Wednesday nights. This is kind of the capstone on our study of the fullness of Christ tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, we're focusing on verse 21, but we're going to be looking at some other passages as well, but specifically Ephesians chapter 5. I want to begin reading in verse 18 just so we can run where we've been starting on this through verse 21. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Father, I ask you that you'll help us do this, Lord. Help us, Father, to understand that we need to be completely full of you, filled to overflowing. And Father, that as we are filled with the Spirit, then we are able to give thanks to you for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're able to submit to you and to each other out of reverence for Christ. Father, it's just too much to allow ourselves to fill ourselves. It draws us down. It takes us the wrong way. It keeps us out of your presence, Lord. I don't want to be full of me. I want to be full of you. Lord, I want to empty myself so that everything that's inside of me is you. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us submit to you tonight. Help us, Lord, as we live every day of this life that you've given us, no matter how long it might be. There will be a life of complete submission to you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I entitled tonight's message, I Submit to You, Lord. The word submit literally means to give over ownership to someone else. And I've used this illustration before, but it just reminds me. If you were taking a test and you finished the test and you took it up and submitted it to your teacher and you went back to your desk and then you looked into your notes and saw what the answers were and you saw that you missed a couple, and can you go right back up to your teacher and get the test back? No, because you submitted it to her and now it's hers. It's her possession and she owns it and she's going to grade you because of what you've done on it. In the same way, God asks us to submit ourselves to Him. And when we do that, we can't take ourselves back. You know, I grew up hearing the term Indian giver. But it's not a slam on Indians. It's a slam on we as Americans, because basically we gave them things and then we took it back away from them. And I think a lot of times we're kind of Indian givers to God. We say, yeah, Lord, here I am, use me. And then before long, we're in charge again, and we're doing our own thing, and we're going our own way. So in this passage we've been looking at, one of the things we talked about is the influence. Verse 18 says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. The picture here is being under the influence of something else. So instead of being under the influence of alcohol, Paul says we ought to be under the influence of the Spirit. And to be under the influence of the Spirit means I've given myself to Him. When we do that, there is a principle of reciprocity. In other words, reciprocity means there's an inward flow that leads to an outward flow. As we allow the Holy Spirit to indwell us, then His Spirit can flow out of us to other people. It's the same picture that Jesus used when he was talking about living water. And he says, I am living water, and he who drinks of me shall never run out. It's an inward flow that leads to an outflow. It's a receiving that results in a giving. The only way we can give what God has for us to give is to receive it, first of all, from Him. And then because we have received it, we can give it away. I can't give anything away that I don't have, that I don't possess. That's not of mine. That's not mine. And so Paul is you know, trying to drive this point home to the church at Ephesus. He says, listen, folks, you can do all the other kinds of things that people are doing, but you're going to miss the most important thing, and that is submitting yourself to the Lord. Because once you do that, then He fills you with His Spirit, so much so that Spirit then can be used to show other people who God really is. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says this, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse him that curses you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now what does that mean? It means as God gave his blessing to Abraham, as God gives his blessing to Jacob and Isaac and all the other people that he gives his blessings to, what does that do? It enables them to then bless other people. As God blesses you, you can also bless other people. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out the demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So in other words, as Jesus was telling his disciples, listen, I've given freely to you. I'm with you every single day. I share God's word with you every single day. And now because you've received that from me, you are to then give it. It's the principle of reciprocity. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And literally those verbs there are continual. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And I think a lot of times we go, okay, God, this is what I need. And then we never come back to it. Ask and keep on asking. Why? Because God is there to continually fill us with His Holy Spirit. Fill us with the things that we need to be able to do what He's called us to do. Not what we necessarily want to do. But it is for every person that's filled with the Spirit, it is what we want to do. Because when God fills you with His Spirit, your desires become His desires. His desires become your desires. Luke chapter 6, verses 37-38 says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It will be poured into your lap, for with the measure that you use, it will be measured unto you. And I wonder how many times we just measure a little bit. Lord, I just want a little bit of you. Chuck Swindoll makes a statement in one of his books that says, somebody came to God one morning and said, Lord, I just want $2 of God today. Not enough to expand my mind or allow my heart to be full, but just enough to get me by today. I wonder how many people just want $2 worth of God. I want everything that God has for me. I want all that He has for me. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. But do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for in the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The principle of reciprocity. As we receive what God has for us, we can then turn around and give it away and give it away and give it away. And that's what God wants in our lives. But it only happens when we submit ourselves completely to Him. The act of submission, let's talk about that. The Greek term for submission is hupotasso. It means to subject oneself to another's authority, to yield to another's control. In other words, it means, Lord, You're Lord. You're my Lord. And I'm going to follow You. I'm not going to make up my decisions, my mind, what I want to do. I'm going to follow what you want me to do. And the only way I can do that is listen to you and be in your presence and submit myself to you. Because I guarantee you, if you do that, God will tell you what He wants for your life. He will lead you in the places He wants you to go. There's a perfect example of that in Philippians chapter 2. As Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, he says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from His love, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." You want a perfect example of submission? It's Jesus Christ. He submitted himself completely, absolutely, nothing held back. When we are filled with the Spirit rather than filled with ourselves or filled with the world, we will begin to exhibit certain things in our life. That very passage talks about them. One of the things that we will exhibit when we're filled with the Spirit is humility. Humility. The Greek term is taponosophrine, which means seeing our own lowliness compared to His greatness. You see, that's the only way we can really understand how great God is to see ourselves in His perspective. And when we see God like He really is, we'll see what we're really like. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given me," Paul says, "I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." In other words, we need to see ourselves like God sees us. He has put us in a specific place for a specific purpose, and then He gives us His power to complete the work that He has for us. 2 Kings 22, verse 19. "Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord." You see, God hears those who are willing to submit themselves before Him. Humility. When we're filled with the Spirit, humility will be there. When we're filled with the Spirit, we start to have His mind rather than our own. And by the way, His mind is always better than our mind. Always. But to do that, we have to empty ourselves so that He can fill us. What does that mean, to empty ourselves? It is the act of submission. It's saying, "Lord, I think of things and I think I want to do things and I think I have a plan and I think I. And we got to get to the point where every day we're saying, "Lord, this is your day. This is the day that you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I choose to follow you, Lord. What is it you have for me?" This is the act of submission. The fool will not do this. Because the fool thinks everything's about him. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. In other words, people talk about God, but He's really not influencing me. I'm just going to do what I want to do today. Instead, we are to submit ourselves. Don't live like the unwise, the Scripture tells us, but instead be filled with the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit every single day, all day long. And here are the acts of submission. These are the end result of what happens when we begin to truly submit ourselves to Him on a daily basis, we will begin to seek His heart. In other words, we'll begin to love people like He loves people. Every person. Even if we don't like them. Even if they don't fit into our mold. Even if we think that they have different thought processes and ideologies and all the other things. We've got to love them. Like God loves them. Did you know that God loves every single person in this world? 100%? So we need to seek His heart. We need to seek His wisdom. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. So when I start looking at situations, I need to get out of my head and start getting into His thought process. What does God see when He sees people doing what they're doing? See, when I see it, I think, well, they're stupid, or they're wasting, or they're doing whatever they're doing, and I think it's terrible or whatever. But when God looks at it, He's saying, they're missing the point. They're missing the most important thing in the world, and that's a relationship with the Lord. So we need to seek His wisdom, and we'll start to see people differently when we do that. And then we need to seek His purpose. Okay, God, because I'm seeing things with the heart of love and with the wisdom of seeing things from Your perspective, then what is the purpose You have for me today? What is it You want me to do? How can You use me, Lord? I'm here. Here I am, Lord. Like Isaiah called out to God that day, Lord, I'm a wretched man. I have unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. But my eyes have seen the Lord. So here I am, Lord, send me. When we seek His heart and understand His love, when we seek His wisdom and begin to see things from His perspective, when we seek His purpose and begin to walk in the path that He has for us, then we begin to walk in His love. Because everything that God does is motivated by His love for people. Everything. And we will then begin to see lost people as lost people and not enemies. The worst thing we can do in the world is see people who are acting lost and criticize and condemn them rather than love on them and try to show them how much God loves them. Philippians 2, verse 5. Paul says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And then a couple of verses later, in verses 7 and 8, he goes on to say, but He made Himself, Jesus made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. Was Jesus a servant? He's Lord. And He was made in the likeness of a man, and He was found in fashion as a man, and He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. He was living in the Spirit. So, secondly tonight, how do we live by the Spirit? It's a contrast to living in the flesh. So, what do we do when we're living in the flesh? We want what we want. We desire what we desire. We seek what we want to seek. We strive with other people. We argue. We complain. We. Me. Everything is about me. About what I want. That's living in the flesh. Living in the Spirit literally means the totally opposite thing. It's getting rid of everything that I want. Getting rid of all the things that I desire of my fleshly nature. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit and you put your death in the misdeeds of the body, you will live. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. In other words, Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, and he said, listen, I'd love to talk to you about the things of the Spirit, but I can't because you're not there. You're still living in the world. Galatians chapter 5. It's a long passage, 13 through 25. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, envy, drunkenness, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We need to be people who are willing to live by the Spirit. When self is finally removed, and now I'm not talking about, you know, you'll get to a point where you're perfect. But when self is dethroned, the Spirit moves in. It's the principle of reciprocity. You've got to get Him off, yourself off of the throne of your life so that the Holy Spirit can come and take the rightful place. How much do you desire the mind of Christ? How much do you truly desire the mind of Christ? Enough to crucify your own flesh daily? It's what Jesus said to His disciples. He says, if anyone would want to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's a daily walk. It's a moment-by-moment walk with the Lord. Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Lastly, submission is no problem when we do these things. When we realize I am not on the throne of my life any longer. Why? Because I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. When I realize that He really is Lord and I'm not. Submission means I surrender all to the One who is all. I surrender everything. Lord, I surrender my possessions. I surrender my emotions. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender everything that I am to You. And I'm not going to hold back. I want to finish with this extensive passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 27. But it's just a reminder to us of what he's talking about. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to new idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord unless it's of the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so that it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers within it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Father, I thank you that you show us the way that we find your mind and your heart most is by submitting ourselves completely to you. And in that process, we are filled with your Spirit. We are led by your wisdom and your love. You give us a purpose for life. We walk in your love and we see lost people as lost and not enemies. And we begin, Father, to work as a body of Christ. Lord, we cannot be individuals any longer saying that we love you. We need to be people that love you and submit ourselves to you completely. That's the whole key, Lord. And when that happens, we will be filled with you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.